Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So the news came out yesterday that Rob Manfred has adopted a new policy. If you are dead and you are banned from Major League Baseball, you are no longer banned from Major League Baseball because it was a lifetime ban and you are no longer living. So Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, I'm sure that they were celebrating yesterday. They are no longer banned from Major League Baseball, even though both of them are dead. So now it will open up the door for Pete Rose to potentially get into Cooperstown, something that should have happened years ago while he was alive. However, Pete Rose gambled on baseball, and they banned him from baseball. And Pete Rose, it took forever for him to admit that he was wrong. And Pete Rose, we know, is not the greatest human being in the world. I think that's the nicest way to say it. There's a lot that has been accused of Pete Rose and a lot that has been talked about publicly with Pete Rose. But for me, the Hall of Fame isn't, are you a great person? I know they have that character clause in it and accused that as a defense yesterday. I'm sorry, folks. Like, the Hall of Fame, to me, you could be the worst person on the planet. You could be. If you have the most hits in the history of Major League Baseball, the most home runs in the history of baseball, or you are a Hall of Fame player, you have the numbers, you should be in the Hall of Fame. The objective of the Hall of Fame, for me, the way I view it through my lenses, is to tell the story of the game and to honor the great players. And you cannot tell the history of Major League Baseball without people like Pete Rose, Barry Bonds. I know two different issues, but those two people in particular need to be in the Hall of Fame, and many others as well. So I was reading one article, because it's one thing, right? Pete Rose, who's dead, is no longer banned by Major League Baseball with the whole change yesterday. So Pete Rose, I guess, now goes into the Classic Baseball Era Committee, where I guess that's the people that will ultimately determine if Pete Rose will make the Hall of Fame. Because I saw a bunch of these lame baseball writers. Well, let me just be real. There's a lot of people that cover Major League Baseball that I like. So when I say these lame baseball writers, if you're a sensitive baseball writer that I know, I respect your work. It's not you that I'm going after. But there's so many people that have this badge to vote for the Hall of Fame, and they think like they are protecting the Hall, and how could we ever let like a piece of trash human being into the Hall of Fame, or someone took steroids. Oh, you know what? We can't put you in the Hall of Fame, but if someone took steroids and they treated me nicely, oh yeah, I'll vote for them, no problem. But the guy that didn't treat me nicely, oh, he took steroids even though he was a better player. You know what? Yeah, we won't put him in the Hall of Fame. And that's what it is. Ivan Rodriguez, why is he in the Hall of Fame, Pudge? Because him and the media had a good relationship. Pudge is no doubt about a Hall of Fame player. He was once asked, did you take steroids? His answer, only God knows the answer to that. Ah, no problem. John Heyman puts him right in right away. But you look at someone like Barry Bonds, oh, Barry didn't treat the media well. See, it's not that Barry Bonds took steroids. That's what people hide behind. It's because Barry Bonds didn't treat the media well. And quite frankly, Barry Bonds was a prick. All right? But guys like Big Poppy, who I love Big Poppy, right? He gets in, not even a second thought about it. A-Rod, he cheated. He cheated multiple times. A-Rod, you know, phony people say, so we're not going to put him in the Hall of Fame. It's just the way that the baseball writers contradict themselves, they're embarrassing. The baseball writers for years with the Hall of Fame in the last decade have embarrassed themselves. And they sit there like, we need to protect our era. We need to protect these records. We need to protect the great players. But then they basically just urinate on my era. Not Roger Clemens. I hate Roger Clemens. I despise Roger Clemens. Roger Clemens is my least favorite athlete ever. But with that being said, you're a moron if you don't think Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. So, I know that the Pete Rose issue is different than the steroid issue. Because I'll get tweets, I'll get emails, Pete Rose didn't cheat. He's not a cheater like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. I get that. But when we get into the Pete Rose conversation, it's inevitable. And Reggie Jackson and I once had a conversation. This was in 2017, 2018. And I said, should Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame? And Reggie Jackson said no. He said, if you took steroids, if you cheated, I don't think you should be in the Hall of Fame. And then I was saying, explaining my case, I usually do, right? Because we're not the show that just has a guest on and they could say whatever they want, right? I'm not saying it has to be contentious. But if I disagree, I'll tell you I disagree. I'm not just going to sit there and be like, oh, we have Reggie Jackson on the show. Ooh, this is unbelievable. Reggie, tell me about all the home runs that you hit. Ooh. Like, if I have an opinion and the guest disagrees with my opinion, guy may know more about baseball than me. Obviously, he does. Guy played the game at a very high level, right? His opinion matters, but my opinion matters too, right? If you're on my show. So at the time, I said to Reggie Jackson, you know, I made my case for Bonds and I made my case for Clemens and et cetera, et cetera. And he goes, well, do you think Pete Rose should be in? And I said, absolutely. And he goes, well, you know what? You're consistent. I'm on your team now. So I actually got Reggie Jackson in the middle of the interview when we were talking Sosa and all these guys. Paul, I said, I put them all in. I judge based off the stats. And I'm also judging and saying, tell the history, right? So Barry Bonds, he cheated. Barry Bonds, also the greatest baseball player I've ever seen. I'm okay with telling the whole damn story. You want to put a little asterisk there on the plaque and go, there were steroid questions. I'm fine with that. Just tell the damn story. But you can't just imagine. Like, here's the other thing. Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. All right, Bud knew everything that was going on. Joe Torre, Bobby Cox, all these managers. They all knew what was going on. Oh, they get it, no issue. But we're holding the players accountable. And you know what? If Bud Selig was sitting right here and he would lie right to my face, right? But you would say this to him. You turned your head the other way. Why did you do it? And the truthful answer would be because it saved Major League Baseball. Those home run chases were bleeping awesome. So long story short here, I'm not saying you got to love that someone cheated. I'm not saying you got to love Pete Rose as a human being. I understand clearly why you wouldn't. I'm not saying that you got to support what Pete Rose did as a manager. We'll keep it to baseball for this argument, though. But do you have the numbers or not? And how could you have a Hall of Fame where a guy has won multiple Cy Youngs like Roger Clemens, a guy is the all-time home run king in Barry Bonds, and Pete Rose is the all-time hit king, and have none of them in it right now? Or A-Rod, what does he have, like the fourth most home runs of all time or whatever it is? He not be in the Hall of Fame. That doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, getting back to this whole Pete Rose thing, I guess now he will go his legacy, his status, I don't know how they narrow it down, to the Classic Baseball Era Committee. And if I'm reading this correctly, it's a 16-member committee. The Classic Baseball Era Committee consists of 16 individuals, including Hall of Famers, executives, and veteran media members. So if it was just the baseball writers and only the baseball writers, I still wouldn't be convinced that Pete Rose is definitely getting in. Because you will have some of them that will sit there and they'll have their nose up in the air held really high. Oh, I can't allow Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. He gambled as a manager. I can't do it. Even though he has the most hits of all time, you big dummies. Seriously. And then I guess that Rose will need 75% of the votes. And that'll be 12 out of 16 to be elected in the Hall of Fame. And here's the best part. I don't like this. But it is a secret ballot, I guess. So you will not find out who actually votes. But the Hall of Fame, you don't need to make your ballots public either for the regular ballot. But many of the writers do. And remember, it's like the same Hall of Fame that, you know, you had that one jackass, right, that didn't vote. Was it Derek Jeter, right, or Ken Griffey Jr.? It's like, oh, well, this guy wasn't unanimous 100% back 45 years ago, so I can't do so now. I'll tell you, if there's one job that I would never do, I don't care what the money is, I would not cover a full baseball regular season as a baseball beat writer. That's got to be the most miserable job in sports. Not on the planet, but in sports. Because, and so many of these baseball writers, they are like miserable people. There's a lot of great baseball writers too. Like, I have a lot of friends that are baseball writers that I like, but there are some miserable, and I mean miserable baseball writers. You got to go to that stadium every day. You have to cover 162 games. And you know what? Baseball players are difficult to deal with. And a big reason why is they got to talk to the media before the game. They got to talk to the media during the game. And they got to talk to the media after the game. There's too much availability. But in this case with Pete Rose, does anyone like Santer? I know you like to be a contrarian from time to time. It's just your natural instinct sometimes. You would not even say that Pete Rose shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Correct, Amundo?
No, I think that he should be in. If he's off the ban list, he should absolutely be in, especially because his issue was as a manager, not as a player. He's not getting elected to the Hall of Fame as a manager. He's getting elected as a player.
And even so, even if he did better in the games as a player, that would be, it's disgraceful, right? The act isn't good, but if you have the most hits of all time, I don't care if he took a baseball bat and swung it at an umpire's head. You have to be in the Hall of Fame. You have to be. How can you say this is a legitimate Hall of Fame when the man with the most hits in the history of the game isn't in your Hall of Fame? Like, I don't condone the majority of things that Pete Rose has done. Pete Rose, you can't sit here and say he was a wonderful human being. I don't look at the Hall of Fame and say, oh, let's put the most wonderful human beings in the world. Like, I met Joe McEwing when I was 7 years old. He was a nice guy. Chris Woodward was a nice guy. You know, you're not sitting there saying Joe McEwing and Chris Woodward belong in the Hall of Fame. You know, Barry Bonds is a jerk. Pete Rose was a terrible human being. Barry Bonds, most home runs of all time. Pete Rose, most hits of all time. They need to be in the Hall of Fame. Who was the guy for you? Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame. Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame.
He's the worst Hall of Famer across every sport.
I'm not even going to say that, but if he's in the Hall of Fame, think about that. So that's your opinion. Fine, whatever. Whether people agree with it or not, whatever. Harold Baines, though, is in the Hall of Fame. But the man with the most home runs and the man with the most hits isn't in your Hall of Fame. And Roger Clemens, even though I can't stand Roger Clemens, Roger Clemens with what? How many Cy Youngs? Seven Cy Youngs. Sorry, I shorted him to. Seven Cy Youngs and an AL MVP and a two-time Triple Crown winner and a four-time MLB win leader and a seven-time ERA leader and a five-time strikeout leader. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's not. And I hate Roger Clemens. If Roger Clemens is sitting next to me right now, I tell him I hate him. I don't like you. But you should be in the Hall of Fame. It's just stupid. Curt Schilling is another guy. Totally different topic of conversation. Right? Barry Bonds. Not in the Hall of Fame right now because he was jerked to the media and people and he cheated. Pete Rose not in the Hall of Fame right now because he's not eligible up until last day. Curt Schilling was a good regular season pitcher. He is one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time. If Curt Schilling didn't open up his mouth and say some despicable things, right? Curt Schilling would be in the Hall of Fame. Not even close. Not even close. Curt Schilling is not in the Hall of Fame because of his politics. That's why. And because of some disgusting things, to be fair, that he did say about journalists. But Curt Schilling belongs in the Hall of Fame. I am not about the Hall of Fame of are you a good person. I'm the Hall of Fame of are you a great player? Were you a great player? I'll tell you right now. I don't think I should be the end-all, be-all. I don't think it's ever healthy to be the end-all, be-all. But I could do a much better job in terms of consistency with the Hall than a lot of these people that vote. Remember Lebatard? And I'm not even a big Dan Lebatard fan, to be honest. Remember when Lebatard, like, sold his vote or something? It was a dead spinner. I forget what it was to get a fan vote. That was a pretty kick-ass ballot that year. So I think the whole process should change. I think, like, Vin Scully, when he was alive, that dude didn't get a vote for the Hall of Fame. That dude's seen more baseball than anyone that's ever voted for the Hall of Fame. And I know team broadcasters, yeah, having the two Dodgers announcers have a vote isn't going to sway it that much. I think the Hall of Fame players, you know, should have more of a say too. And I think, yes, the writers should still have a say because the writers are important. I'm not saying the writers are unimportant. The writers are definitely important. And sometimes players think a player is great and the player wasn't that great. So there's no perfect way to do this. All Hall of Fames have flaws. But baseball to me is the one that drives me the most bonkers. Because, and I've been to Cooperstown too, multiple times. It is a fun town. The people in that town are good people, right? They bring a lot of kids there, right? Baseball games, all that stuff. It's really cool. Going to the Hall of Fame is a neat thing if you've never done so before. But I'm so fed up with the whole Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame, to me, has a big mark on it until you get some of the all-time great players in the Hall of Fame. Because it's not a Hall of Fame if you don't have some of the greatest players ever in the Hall of Fame. So that's just me. Anyway, so off of Pete Rose, who's a player? Because, like, basketball, they put everybody in. Hockey, Roenick for a while wasn't in, and he finally got in. But really, the debates that we usually have off Hall of Famers are baseball and football. So let's go around the room. One player each, baseball, football, that should be in the Hall of Fame that isn't. Let's start baseball. Stu, we'll start with you.
All right. Mine's A-Rod. It is, you know, obviously a lot of these steroid guys will go under that umbrella. But to me, you know, Barry Bonds was the best hitter I've ever seen. A-Rod's probably in that top three or four with Griffey and Pujols. So I think he's a Hall of Famer. I know some people don't like putting steroid guys in, but I'm someone who would put them in. So I think A-Rod would fit under that category.
Well, bleep them if they don't like it. Santer, what do we got next?
I was going to go with my favorite player growing up, Sammy Sosa, but since...
Oh, really?
He was my favorite player growing up.
Wait, growing up?
Yeah.
How old were you when Sosa was...
Well, Sosa broke into the league in 89, so I was 9 years old. But
oh, really?
When he joined the Cubs, that was like 92, 93.
Yeah.
He got 30-30 with the Cubs.
Well, real quickly, it's just funny when you say that, because I love Sammy Sosa when I was growing up as
love
a kid.
Sammy
I remember
Sosa.
I met him. He was going for 600 home runs. And it was early 2000s, and the Mets opened up the season. He was a few away with the Cubbies, and it was freezing cold, and I got a chance to meet Sammy Sosa, and it was awesome. Like, I thought that some of those Cubs team, Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, Derek Lee, Sammy Sosa.
Well, no, don't throw Derek Lee in there, because Derek Lee was on the Marlins. Derek Lee was on the Marlins when they lost in the 03 playoffs, and then he joined the Cubs afterwards. Screw Derek Lee. Lee was the reason why Bartman was to blame for all this.
No, wasn't that Alou?
Derek Lee was on the Marlins at the time. After the Bartman played, Derek Lee hit a game-tying or a go-ahead double.
Gotcha.
I hate Derek Lee, even when he joined the Cubs.
It was weird. I always liked some of those Cubs players. So it's funny how we are not anywhere close in age, and one of my favorite players growing up was Sammy Sosa, and he's also one of your favorite players.
Yeah, so my last name's Samter. My friends call me Sammy. So
Sammy Samter?
So I was Sammy. My friends call me Sammy Sosa. Actually, the name was made up by someone else in the industry, a buddy of mine from high school, Evan Cohen, who is a radio host over on the four-letter word.
Oh, ESPN? Evan Cohen, you were friendly?
Yeah. We went to the same high school.
Let's be real. We could say the other networks. Change in this business. There is so much, you know, friends that we have. I know Evan well. I like Evan.
So thanks to Chris Berman and Evan Cohen, I was Sammy Stadium Sosa. That was my nickname in high school. So
when you played Little League, and you would hit a home run when you played Little League, would you jump up and down?
If I hit a what?
A home run in the league.
I was a varsity starter on the baseball team for 2 years.
Glory to you.
I was a good baseball player. Yeah. I never once hit a home run in my entire baseball
career.
You're
like a David Eckstein, right? I would imagine.
I was walked, stolen bases, singles, doubles, a few triples here
and
there.
Dustin Pedroia?
I may have had like an inside the park home run that was Marcos probably two Tutero. Or three errors, but I've never hit an actual home run over a fence ever in my life.
Okay.
The craziest thing about Sammy, and he's not going to be my pick, but
I
said I was going to go with Sammy. You started asking me all these questions. I was going to go with Sammy.
Sam's the kind of guy that the wife tells me, like, go get eggs and milk. He comes back with eggs, milk, cookies, carrots, hummus, pita chips.
No, worse. She says, go get eggs and milk. I come back with hummus and pita chips and forget the eggs and milk. But the crazy thing about Sosa, 3 years he hit over 60 home runs. None of those 3 years did he lead the league in home runs. The guy I'm going to go with, because I don't think that there's really a steroid belief around him, and if there is, it hasn't really been voiced, is Andrew Jones. He's the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The guy was a great hitter, hit 50 home runs once, led the league in home runs once, RBI,
he
multiple times over 30 home runs.
If fielding matters,
he's the best defensive center fielder the game has ever seen. He was so good, he belongs in.
Like, Omar Vizquel is a guy that's had, like, what, 7,000 gold gloves? If fielding is a part of the game, then those guys should
be. But the difference was Omar Vizquel was, like, a moderate hitter. Andrew Jones was a very good hitter, at least for power.
Yeah, no, I think Andrew Jones should be in. The problem is Andrew Jones stuck around too long. Like, if he would have retired 3 or 4 years, maybe, or 5 years before he actually did, I think that he probably would have got in by now, which is just stupid, but that's it. I already went off on Bonds. I was going to say Bonds. So that was my answer. Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, McGuire, Palmeira, all the steroid guys. If you got the numbers, Manny Ramirez, I'm fine with you getting the Hall of Fame. All righty. Let's go football. I will say I have advocated for two guys in the last 10 to 12 years to make the Hall of Fame. They eventually both did. Jerry Kramer and then also Leroy Butler. The next guy I've been advocating for the last 2 years, Sean Alexander. People tell me Sean Alexander didn't play enough. Guy had 100 career touchdowns. So he didn't play enough, but he had 100 career touchdowns. He basically played in like 6 full seasons. He should be in. He also won an MVP and was an offensive player of the year. To me, he played from 2000 to 2008. You really chop off the last 2 years and really like the first year of his career. Sean Alexander, in that short of a stretch, had 100 touchdowns. And that's a guy that should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you look at this. First year, he only had 64 carries. Last year, only had 11 carries. In 2007, only played in 13 games. 2006, only played in 10 games. So you're looking from 2001, basically, to 2005. That was the bulk of it. 14 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns, 16 touchdowns, 27 touchdowns. That's 100 rushing touchdowns total. And the years that we're not counting that ended up getting 100, he had 7, 4, 0, and 2. So a guy basically played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and he had 100 touchdowns. And in all those years, 1,300 yards, 1,100 yards, 1,400 yards, almost 1,700 yards, almost 1,900 yards rushing. The dude was an absolute stud. Oh, yeah, and by the way, he had 12 receiving touchdowns. So 112 total touchdowns for a guy that basically played 6 years. To me, that's a Hall of Famer. Stu?
So my player in the NFL didn't have the best stats, but he was a quarterback that won 2 Super Bowls as a starting quarterback and a Super Bowl MVP, and that's Jim Plunkett.
Mm.
It was a different era, so the stats aren't amazing, and even for his era, his stats weren't that great, but I think if we're going to put Eli Manning in the next 3 or 4 years, which I think we will, I think Jim Plunkett for his era should be in.
Santa, I know who he's going to say. I know.
I think you know who I'm going to say. I only have one guy.
It's a suck-up spot.
It's a suck-up spot.
It's a suck-up spot.
To an extent, but over the years.
He deserves to get in. Don't get me wrong. If he played in this era, his stats would be even better.
This is a guy who's a friend. It's a guy who I used to work with.
It's a suck-up spot, though.
But Tiki Barber.
Doesn't even work with the guy anymore. He still sucks up to him.
His last 3 years in the league, 2,100 all-purpose yards, 2,400 all-purpose yards, 2,100 all-purpose yards from scrimmage. There are only 3 players in NFL history who have 10,000 yards rushing, 5,000 yards receiving. Marshall Faulk, elite. Marcus Allen, elite. Tiki Barber is the only of the only 3 who have that stat. He was not just a great running back, he was a great receiver out of the backfield. When he retired with the Giants, he was the Giants' all-time leading receiver and rusher. And he had 1,500 yards, 1,800 yards, 1,600 yards in his last 3 seasons. Over his last 7 seasons, the dude averaged 1,900 yards from scrimmage over his last 7 seasons. So I'm just saying he belongs in. The NFL, unlike baseball where it's a longevity thing and a stat compilation thing, the NFL short careers of dominance, Tiki was dominant for a 7-year period of time.
Yeah, I also heard Tiki used to give Santa the best gifts out of any host he's ever worked with. That's also what I heard.
Quid pro quo.
No, I obviously think Tiki should be in, but I knew where Santa was going on this one. You know what? Sean needs to be in before Tiki. Sean won an MVP. Tiki didn't. And you know what? I've talked to Tiki about this, and Tiki agrees with me that Sean needs to be in the Hall of Fame. But at least Tiki gets on these like ballots and stuff and gets into... Not a finalist, but he's been close before.
I think he was a semi-finalist once, or he's definitely been nominated and moved past a couple times.
All righty. We may have an answer on Nick Saban's future in college football. We'll get to that next. All righty. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I was just reading this. So we talked about this last week, where Nick Saban was expected to be named the co-chair of the presidential commission studying all college sports. So it kind of brought this thought that, like, oh, this is Commissioner Nick Saban. And Nick Saban has always been standoffish and has not wanted this commissioner stuff. A little bit different when it's being what has been talked about in the past and then what President Trump has talked about. We also had Chris Peterson on, the former Washington and Boise State coach, and he was basically told me very politely when I tried to throw that out at him, if Saban didn't want it, maybe he should get it. And Chris was like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. So this is the latest. Paul Feinbaum, I guess, had Saban on, and this is via On3 Sports. Nick Saban is not sure if we need President Donald Trump's commission on college sports. First of all, I don't know a lot about the commission. Secondly, I'm not sure we really need a commission. I think that a lot of people know exactly what the issues are in college football and exactly what we need to do to fix them. I'm not opposed to players making money. I don't want anybody to think that. I just think the system that we are using, the way it's going right now, is not sustainable and probably not in the best interest of the student athletes across the board or the game itself. I think this is very simple. And I don't know if anyone would disagree about this. Players should get paid. Players should have the right to transfer. But what I don't think is right is basically free agency, not only every year, every semester. You could have an NIL deal. You go play 1 year, and then you don't like the way that spring ball, or even some of these times, let's take it even, make it even simpler. A kid goes and commits in the winter, spring ball comes around, and then he leaves by the end of spring ball. It's like wild to me. So this is what I think needs to have happen. There should be more contracts with this NIL stuff that define how long the terms are of the contract. And maybe you should get one transfer if the contract is over 2 years. So like if you sign an NIL deal for 2 years, alrighty, you're there for 2 years at university whether you like it or not. But if you're going to sign a four-year NIL deal, or a three-year NIL deal, and I think we need more specific terms, because that's the problem. It's the wild, wild west. I have sat next to someone who is in charge or works with the collective at a university, is the way that I should say it. And I would say to him, oh, I just saw that this player got $2.5 million. He's like, I don't even know if those numbers are true. So I think there needs to be more specific terms where there is a transfer limit and we have more defined terms here. Because that, to me, is the part that gets a little bit bent out of shape. Like, imagine if an NFL player could just say after 1 year, right, signs a four-year contract, let's say. And after 1 year, you know, I got enough of my, you know, I got my signing bonus, so I'm just going to leave. You know, I'm going to enter free agency. You can't have every year free agency for every player in the sport. So there needs to be more rules. But if you're Nick Saban, why would you want to be involved in any of this stuff? Like, I get it, right? It's the president that's trying to bestow this honor upon you. But why would you want to be involved? You just got out of college sports because you didn't want to deal with all this crap. Now you have a comfy TV job where we've seen Nick Saban smile more in one football season than we've seen him smile in his entire career. Doing TV, doing college game day, parading around stadium to stadium around the country each and every Saturday. Why would you want to try to find the answer to this problem and to this mess right now? Once again, Zach Gelb. Fully pro players getting paid. Fully pro players getting the right, if they want to transfer here and there. But every semester free agency does not work. And that's what needs to be cleaned up. All righty, we'll come on back with a news brief. We'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio after this. Rich Ackerman, Sports Update.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start it off on the ice today. The Dallas Stars, I feel like they are the only team in the league that gets a player with a hat trick. Because I feel as if we talk about them getting hat tricks all the time. Rantanen had two hat tricks so far this postseason, I remember, both occurring in one period. This didn't occur in one period, but you had three goals in a game by Mikael Granlund, and he had a hat trick last night as the Stars only scored three goals, and they were all by him, and they defeated the Winnipeg Jets 3-1. The Stars have taken a commanding 3-1 series lead, and the Winnipeg Jets won the President's Trophy this year. So if they lose their next, you know, whenever they lose next, if they do lose next in this series, then they will be going home. And the last time we've had a President's Trophy winner go on to win the Stanley Cup and hoist Lord Stanley Cup was back in 2013 when the Chicago Blackhawks did so. Let's listen up to the Stars Radio Network. And this is how the hat trick sounded in the third period.
Duchesne left circle off the bar. It stayed out. Haskinen holds it in. Right side. One-timer score. It's Mikael Granlund. A hat trick. Let him fly.
I like that. Off the bar. You got the excitement right in front. The Granlund goal. I get that like it's a solid 7.9. It's a good call. Good call. And I want to hear these guys freak out a little bit more. That's what I'm looking for with some of these play-by-play guys. Let's go to David Adelman of the Denver Nuggets. They're now down 3-2. Only Nikola Jokic basically showed up for that team in the fourth quarter. And here's David Adelman on why his team struggled in the fourth.
I mean, you can say it's fatigue. I think shot quality, too. I thought early in the quarter we did get really good shots. They didn't fall. And then late their pressure got to us, and we were up against the clock a lot. So if it is fatigue, that's on me. You know, I'm deciding who's going to run it, who's going to be out there.
I'm sick of the fatigue talk. Like, who was it? It was Charles Barkley, who when they had a day off in between, he goes, oh, I didn't like when they played him at night. And then they had to go play the earlier game 2 days later. Like, Chuck, they had a day off in between. And both teams had the same circumstances. So what are the Denver Nuggets? They're just tired. They're a sleepy basketball team. Is that what they are? Come on. Are they hanging out with Stu before the games? And is that why they're so tired in the fourth quarter? Here's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the comeback win.
The game obviously wasn't going our way. And we always say, like, the answer is never, like, a hero play or anything out the ordinary. It's being who we are. It's trusting each other. It's playing with all five on both ends. And whatever the problem is, we can fix it with the collective effort and not a single effort. And that's all we try to focus on when it wasn't going our way. We did enough to get a W.
Here's the scary part about the Thunder. I don't even think they played their best game yet in the postseason. And they're still one win away from going back from going to the conference finals. So they're going to need to play a lot better if they do find a way to win one more game in this series. And they'll get two opportunities if they need them to do so now being up 3-2. But if they do get the Timberwolves, so the Timberwolves have also been sleepwalking through the playoffs too. They were able to sleepwalk past the Lakers. And then this series, I don't love the way that they've looked all the time up against Golden State Warriors. But both those teams, it's going to be fascinating. The Thunder are a better team than the Timberwolves. Doesn't mean the Timberwolves can't win it if that is going to be the matchup. But with that being said, I feel like those teams need to play a little bit crisper because they haven't, neither of them have really played their best brand of basketball yet. Let's go to Rick Carlisle. The Indiana Pacers went to the conference finals last year where they did lose to the Boston Celtics. They are now going to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. It doesn't look like Boston will get back there because it looks like the Knicks will, as they're up 3-1 up against the Celtics, and the Knicks will try to close out Boston tonight in Boston. Here is Rick Carlisle, though, after Tyrese Haliburton shot nearly 67% from the field and had 31 points to secure another trip to the conference finals for the Indiana Pacers.
Look, we're talking about 8 more wins for an NBA championship. You know, the league is wide open this year. I mean, there are a lot of great teams, but it's wide open, and we've just got to keep believing.
It is wide open. Like, the Thunder are the best team. But could the Thunder maybe have a moment where they look as if they're not ready yet? Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Timberwolves have some playoff experience. The Pacers were in the conference finals a year ago. Now they're there again. And the Knicks have a very good team. So it's wide open. If it goes the way that we expect it to, Knicks and Pacers and Thunder and Timberwolves, I would give the edge, obviously, to the Thunder to win it all. But it's not a lock that they will do so. Let's hear from Tyrese Haliburton on what makes this Pacers team so good.
We're different than every other team in the NBA. You know, we don't just have one guy who scores all the points, or, you know, I think we defeat teams in different ways. We move the ball
the ball is flying. We've got a lot of different guys making shots, making plays. We've preached our depth all, you know, for the last couple of years, and, you know, it's paying off now.
And let's go to Cooper Flagg, House of Highlights. This is the credit to them. Who's the most underrated NBA player, Cooper?
Who's the most underrated player in the league, in your opinion?
I would say Tyrese Halliburton, because people hate him and call him overrated all the time and say he's not that good, but he's just such a good basketball player.
Also, I don't know about you, Stu. LeBron's tweet last night. Did you see this about Tyrese Halliburton at all?
I actually don't think I did, no.
Hal effing hoopin'. Where's the lames who said he was overrated? Quiet as hell. That boy nice, and even more, someone everyone who would love to play with at Mind the Game Pod. It's such a LeBron, I'm friends with everybody type of tweet. I love Tyrese Halliburton, blah, 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 blah. I doubt LeBron voted on this anonymous player poll with The Athletic, but I would love to know if LeBron did vote who he voted for. That's just typical LeBron in the playoffs. When he's out, he just becomes the biggest cheerleader for everybody else. Let's go to Kenny Atkinson. Cavs, tremendous regular season. They were the number one overall seed. Do they consider this season a success?
It's not a success in terms of where, you know, the goal we had. You know, we had a goal to make that next jump, right? So I'm not sure we can say that, right? I do think we can say we got better and we improved. But a success would be you're going to the conference finals, so can't deem it a success.
I love that answer. Right? Remember Giannis a few years ago when they went out in the first round? He went off and that reporter who asked, is this season a failure? Kenny Atkinson could have easily sat up there and said, we had a great regular season. We came up short in the postseason, but I'm not going to say it's a failure. You know, him saying that it's not a success, I actually respect that from Kenny Atkinson. And that's why a lot of people like him as a coach. And he suffered a lot of injuries in this series, and his team just didn't show up at home. Here is Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs going 0-3 in Cleveland.
I love playing in that arena, man. Like, that energy, that crowd. We're 0-3 at home. You know, let the city down, man. This place is special. This place is really special. And we didn't get it done.
And let's go to Tristan Thompson on the disappointing playoff exit.
You got to starve before you eat. You got to starve, go days without food before you can eat. So I think we understand that. Guys, I think mutually across the board have that feeling. So, you know, we got some hungry motherfuckers. So I know they're gonna do whatever they can this summer to get themselves right, because, you know, we got some work to do, but we're hungry and we know what it looks like. And, you know, guys will be ready next year.
If you had to take a guess, Stu, how old is Tristan Thompson?
Oh, he's got to be up there. He's got to be like 38.
Samter, what's your guess?
I'm going to go 37.
It's only 34.
No way.
Right?
Wow.
Because when I saw him on the stat sheet, I knew he was on the Cavs, because I saw the Cavs twice in a week, even though he, you know, doesn't play a crazy amount. But I knew he's been hanging on the NBA for a while. I was thinking, man, like, he's got to be close to just hanging. I thought it started to feel not as wild as when Udonis Haslem was still on the Heat, but I was starting to get those vibes, and I'm like, oh, he's only 34? He made his debut in the NBA in 2011. He feels like, though, he's been around, obviously, way longer than that. Let's go to Dak Prescott. He was on the ticket in Dallas on his new wide receiver, George Pickens.
Yeah, we've connected, and I'm excited. I mean, you turn on the tape and you see a guy that can catch the football. You put the football anywhere in his vicinity, very strong hands, more than a 50-50 catcher. He thinks it's his ball when it's in the air, and I'm excited for him. I know that we need some help in that position. I know CD needs some help, and I think when you have a guy like that, and I heard George said, it's hard to double-team two guys, and then when you've got other guys, whether it be Ferg, Jalen Tolbert, Mingo, guys who have had reps and know how to get open in the league, I think we're putting together a nice group of weapons.
My follow-up would be, hey, George could sometimes be a little bit difficult when he's not getting the ball. How do you manage that? How do you handle him on the sidelines, Dak? If there's a game where, yeah, you guys are up and you got three touchdowns, no picks, you got 300 yards, but CD's the guy that's getting the ball and George's a little bit upset on the sideline. How do you handle that? That's what I would ask him. Let's go to LeSean McCoy. He's on the facility on FS1, and he was talking about Shedeur Sanders in minicamp.
He's going to start early this year. I got my sources, and they told me that he looks like the best player out of the whole camp. fifth rounder, right?
Yeah.
And I was always taught, I don't care if it's mini camp,
facts,
real camp,
preach to them,
fake camp, high camp, low camp, yep, boy scout camp, yep, be the best at everything you do. That's how I was raised. 100%. And if you look at Shedeur Sanders, his mindset ain't to be in no backup role with these dudes. He's in there to start.
I will say this. I have no desire to see Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett start week one for the Cleveland Browns. Nothing against Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP. Nothing against Kenny Pickett, right? Former first round pick. But you just drafted two quarterbacks. One in the third round, one in the fifth round. I know not usually when you think starting quarterbacks in the NFL, but I think the real competition should be between Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, and who wins a starting job between those two. There's no intrigue for me or no desire for me to see Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. There is a desire to see either Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. If I'm being honest, I would love to see Shedeur Sanders start week one. I would love it. It would be effing awesome. Let's go to David Carr, NFL Network. Could he see his brother Derek returning to the NFL?
I believe that he is done. I know that Derek loves the game, and I can tell just in the last couple days that he's definitely done playing, and he's moved on because, like I said, his family, his boys, and his little girl are getting older, and they're getting to the point where they want to have dad around more, and that means more to him than anything else.
Yeah, I just think there was a lot going on there with the Saints. I would not be surprised a year from now if we had this, I'm Derek Carr and I'm coming back or trying to come back to the NFL report. Finally, MLB Network, Paul Skeens on joining Team USA for the World Baseball Classic.
It's important. Obviously, I mean, I've gotten the chance to wear USA across my chest a couple times, gotten to wear it in a couple different fashions.
Yeah.
This is one thing, as a fan of the game, watching the previous World Baseball Classics, that I was like, if I ever get the chance to do this, I'm never saying no.
There you go. I like that. I'm not a huge World Baseball Classic fan. It was fun last time when you did have Shohei Ohtani going up against Team USA and all that stuff. So that stuff was neat. But you got Paul Skeens right now, one of the biggest stars in the game involved with Team USA. That's good for me. Just no injuries, please. Because I had a player on my team get hurt in the World Baseball Classic. That ain't fun. All righty, we'll take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.